Good evening and welcome. It's KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Tonight we have music from and conversation with Cody Coyote. Cody is one of the many artists you can find on the aux at fnx.org, which we've been able to have on KVCR as well. Straight from his website, quote, "A blend of hip-hop and rap, Ojibwe artist Cody Purcell's music draws on the challenges he's faced in his own life and issues found within First Nations communities. In his latest single, from his disc Mamawi, Can You Hear Me Now, encapsulates all these themes," end quote.
Let's go. Wake up every morning, I'm heading out to my day job. Waiting every morning, three buses is what I stay on. Vision's not distorted, I focus until my day's gone. Knowing what's important, my motive is that I stay strong. Cupboards often empty, groceries really heavy. Hunger pains are plenty, like that since I was 20. Back to when we lost the house, mama's car got repossessed. Back to when I had my doubts, the trauma starts. I'm feeling stressed, anxiety, my rivalry.
CodyCoyoteMusic.com, that's your website. Yep. Also on Facebook at Cody Coyote Music. Cody, are you also on the Twitter and the Instagram as well?
Yep, Twitter and Instagram, it's CodyCoyote613. And then I got my YouTube channel, which is Cody Coyote on this ish, I-S-H.
Okay. Well, before we go any further, I would like to hear you introduce yourself in your native tongue, please.
Ani bujo, Cody Coyote, Nindishnikas, Odawa Nindonji, Ojibwe Ninda, Matachwa Nindonjaba.
Nice. We will be bouncing between music from the newest disc, Mamawi, also some videos and your bio. Let's go ahead and start with Can You Hear Me Now? Now, this one opens the disc, but it was one of the last videos to make it to the aux. That's the music video service of FNX for folks listening if they don't know of this. It's a music video service. It's much like MTV when it started, when it still had the M, the music portion of it. This is something that was the conception of Frank Blanquette, and it's a variety of indigenous music, that is, types of music. It's not just any one set. Can You Hear Me Now? This one is very much about you, your personal experiences or those you witnessed. Say, as opposed to Bloodline, is a bit more of an introspective piece, but talk about Can You Hear Me Now? How much of this is you and how much you witnessed, things that you saw around you or read about?
Really, when it comes to Can You Hear Me Now, it was a lot about my own personal experiences. As I grew up and I was going through, you know, my trials and tribulations as a youth, I encountered quite a few obstacles along the way, and I just wanted to really articulate the fact that sometimes we feel like we're not being heard. So I was asking people, like, can you hear me now? Do you understand? Can you see what makes me me? Have you seen where I've been? Do you understand where I'm at? And do you know where I'm going? That sort of feel. Overall, I wanted to, like, articulate a positive message behind it as well.
That's one of the things that I know that we'll come back to, because that's something wonderful about this disc, at least. And I have to admit, I don't know your older work, but that's one of the great things about this disc. It's messages of hope, uplifting, positive messages for folks to hear. And that's something that I appreciate about you and some of the other native rap and hip-hop artists that I've been fortunate to speak to. Do you recall, for Can You Hear Me Now, what was maybe the phrase that made it become a song? Or were you just thinking, man, can you hear me now? And then started repeating this. How did that one really start?
I remember I was writing. Originally, I was just writing to get some stuff off my chest. Because music has always been an outlet, and it still has remained to be for me.
So you weren't trying to write a song at this point?
No.
Okay,
no,
okay.
I was just really just writing. And then I came across an instrumental that I was really feeling. I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, I just wrote this down, went home, I tried to make it into a song. You know, so taking something that originally started from being like, hey, I'm really frustrated right now, I'm really upset, I feel like I'm not being heard, I just want to get this on a piece of paper, and then maybe if someone wants to hear it, they could hear it and let me know what they think. But at the time, I was thinking about things that had happened in my own personal life, you know. So some of the lines was like, back to when we lost the house, mama's car got repossessed. Back to when I had my doubts, the trauma starts, I'm feeling stressed. We lost our house, you know. A more personal note, I know what it's like to feel hungry and not to have food in the cupboard at times. But I also know what it's like to overcome that and to have perseverance and determination to continue walking in a good way and to focus on following your heart and following your dream.
There's several songs in here that I've come across that really speak to that. On the video, where was this shot? If I recall correctly, it keeps on going back and forth between a few different things. Mm-hmm. There's a graffiti ridden, maybe under a bridge perhaps, or something to that effect.
Yeah, you got that.
But then also, maybe, is this also the one maybe you're sitting alone at the train stop in the dead of winter?
For the scenes that have like the graffiti, it was under this bridge where they hold an event called House of Paint.
And House of Paint.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
House of Paint. That's where a lot of like the hip-hop scene has really taken place in Ottawa.
Oh, wow.
We have people that were breakdancing as well as graffiti artists, spoken word, other hip-hop artists performing underneath this bridge. So I found a lot of balance along my journey going to these events because it gave me a sense of belonging and there was no judgment. People were just there to jam and have fun and support each other. And for me, you know, going through the bus station where we filmed the scenes at Billings Bridge, which is in the south side of Ottawa, I used to go through there every single day, and it would take me 2 hours to get to work and 2 hours to get back just by bus. And sometimes I'd miss my bus and I'd have to find other means to get home. That's when I was just working at a part-time job because it was very hard to find work at that time.
So this was a scene that not only would you go to jam and do freestyle and whatnot, but on your travels back and forth to work, you would be seeing this every day as well.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And like that area, I knew it like the back of my hand because I was there every morning. Sometimes it'd be like the wee hours of it. So we went to go film when the sun was still down. That's why it was dark, right? So those early mornings getting up and traveling across town to be able to go and work at a part-time job just so I could be able to support myself as well as my family.
This area under the bridge, I have to ask, so surely this isn't something that, okay, you open the gate and go right down to. So in essence, it's still underground and not officially a club or anything. But I can't help but think that with a lot of rap and hip-hop and stuff going on there, people know about this. So is there any trouble with the police letting people go down there and do their thing?
No, like the cool thing about it is that in the Ottawa scene, we fought so hard to have art. We fought so hard to have legal graffiti walls as well places where we can do murals and stuff, right? So that's one of the legal walls that the city has given us. It's open to public. People can go down there at any point in time. I often go down there just to take a walk and kind of clear my head. I have good memories there, like seeing like Big Daddy Kane and Afrika Bambaataa, as well as a few other amazing artists that have gone through there. It's quite remarkable seeing how the scene has evolved and how it's continuing to go up from where it was.
Did you get your start under that bridge, or did you kind of work your wares and then finally have the bravery to present yourself under the bridge?
Actually, like I finally got to perform on that stage last year.
Oh, okay.
So it was quite exciting because it was the first time that I was able to actually perform on that stage. But prior to that, like I had started off in the East End of Ottawa and painted a perfect picture. My first gig was in a parking lot in a neighborhood called Vanier.
Okay.
And for everyone that knows Vanier, it's a bit of a rough part of town. It's really just to give back to the people, and the event was called Unity in the Community.
Mm.
So I really did it just for the love.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Cody Coyote. More at CodyCoyoteMusic.com and also at fnx.org/theaux. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Online and on mobile devices at kvcrnews.org. That's actually a wonderful segue, in all honesty, because I want to talk about the title of the disc, the new disc, what it means, and how you came to choose this, Mamawi.
So, Mamawi means all together in Anishinaabe Mon. I remember thinking about different ways that I could reach people in a good way. I made a decision as of March 18th, 2012, to commit to sobriety and to no longer do drugs or alcohol and to walk in a healthy way and walking in an Anishin way, a good way. And I remember looking in my community and I was seeing a lot of lateral violence, Indigenous against Indigenous. But even living in Ottawa, it's a very political city.
Okay.
It's where Parliament Hill is. And knowing that I grew up on what we refer to as unceded, unsurrendered Algonquin territory.
Please, let's just slightly detour here and talk about what that is, the terminology.
Well, to sum it up, the way that it came to be that way is that this land was not surrendered in treaty.
Okay.
It was not given up. It was taken. It was stolen.
Okay.
So when Europeans had come here and the settlers had gone to Canada and started to establish Canada, they went in there and they just took. They took. And for people who don't know the deep history that resides in Canada, it was forcibly taken through generations of colonialism, colonization, as well as oppression. But even having people go in there and just like the murder and the rape and the really graphic nature of how they went about establishing Parliament Hill and establishing Canada. But for me, like acknowledging that, knowing Algonquin people, having friendships with them, knowing their relatives who had gone to residential schools, and then later on even finding out myself, I had relatives from back home that had gone to residential school. I wanted to be able to initiate something that would create change in regards to the history that had happened in Canada.
How many generations back was that, these folks that went to the residential schools?
So they're pretty much the equivalent to the boarding schools that happened over here.
Right, and with the cutting of the hair and the you can't use your language and...
Exactly.
Okay.
Like spot on. And there's a lot of parallels there, right? So like for Indigenous folk that are now here, you know, in the USA, that are in Canada, we have a very strong understanding of the parallels that are between us. Because for us, we didn't have these borders. There was no borders before, right? And when these governments came and they established themselves, they created all these borders. But we know that we have long existing ties with each other, and that these borders weren't there. And we used to have trading routes, even like where I'm from, Ottawa. It's actually Odawa, and it means to trade. So it was a trading route.
Cool.
For me, like it was quite crazy to learn about that, because my father was a part of what they had called the 60s scoop. The 60s scoop is when the Canadian government and the Catholic Church, they had teamed up, and they were taking kids and they were, you know, putting them in residential school, but they're also putting them in the foster care system. And to paint an accurate picture, they used to have catalogs of children. So you had, in some cases, these families that really, really wanted to adopt children and give them the love and respect that they deserved. But they didn't know that these kids were literally stolen from their family. So the Canadian government would deem that the family was not good enough to raise these kids. And they would take them away and they would put them in a different home. And often when kids were being moved around, if they were coming from a northern community, they would be moved down south. If they were down south, they would be moved up north, or sometimes they would go all the way out west, even to the prairies. And for my father, he was adopted when he was 4 months old in 1960. And we just got answers last year. I'm 26 now. So it took 26 years for me to meet my blood relatives.
Oh, wow.
Right? It took my dad 58. So understanding that, I had talked with my great aunt, and she had told me that my grandma had gone to residential school. And she had told me that my great uncle had gone to residential school. And I remember having a conversation with my great uncle, and he gave me the answers for the questions that I had had for those 26 years. For me, like, I had that understanding, and I really wanted to educate people about this is real, you know? And you're gonna feel a little guilty about it if you have settler descent, but what are you gonna do with that guilt? Are you gonna pretend like it didn't happen? Or are you gonna do something about it, right?
Right.
But acknowledging the title even of the album, A Mile Away, all together, that's the only way we get to move forward. And when it came time for actually putting the CD together, I like had an understanding that I could create, you know, from track 1 to track 13, a bit of a story. You know, so Can You Hear Me Now, talking about my experiences, going to Bloodline, talking about how my father was adopted and I had these intergenerational effects that I didn't know how to manifest. And then going so on and so forth, like Don't Give Up, having those thoughts of suicide, Northern Lights, talking about, you know, how we can overcome our haters. Let the Flow Grow, talking about how my hair, I had to cut my hair from being bullied, so on and so forth, right?
That's why you're talking about growing it and learning patience.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a very valuable teaching as well, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh, wow. Nice way of saying that.
Anishinaabe, Nin, we hear you, I hear you.
I know you don't know me, I know I don't know you, but I want you to know me, and I want me to know you. I know they don't get it, get a soul hard to talk to, slow down for a second, show me what you walk through. Tell me what the hell's going on. The story you tell ain't what's going wrong. Been there before, never felt I belong. Felt like an outcast and I had to be gone. Feeling so lost, like I don't have a purpose. Not sure how to work this. It feels like I'm cursed. This feeling of hurt makes me feel so absurd, cause I feel like I'm worthless. Stop,
I don't wanna see you shoot. I don't wanna be confused. Nah, please put away that gun. Please put away that noose. Nah, nah.
You mentioned just a moment ago, don't give up. I have questions about this. This one, it starts with you or somebody speaking in native tongue. Is that you, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. So this is another great example of a positive message or message of hope coming through your music. Don't give up. Let's talk about this, starting with you in native tongue and then the message that comes through this. Again, let's just go to how this one started. What did you read or see or write down that was like, man, this one's going to become a song?
When I wrote that initially, I had come across a campaign. It was called the We Matter campaign. Their initiative, it started when they were making viral videos, putting it online of different people from different communities, just coming together and talking about suicide and how they've overcome it and how it's affected them in their own life. And for me, I wanted to reach people and let them know that I get it. I understand. I've had those thoughts. I'm still here. I'm a survivor. I acknowledge that. But even writing it the way that I wrote it, it was as if I was speaking to someone, you know, as if they were right in front of me. It's been the most purchased song on the album. And people, they come up to me, and I truly value this, and I cherish the fact that they come up and they say, hey, this song has affected me in this way. You know, I might have lost a relative here, or I know of someone that had taken their life here. And even when I'm speaking Anishinaabe Mon at the beginning, I say Kajay Anishinaabe Nin, which means I am a kind man.
Oh.
Just letting people know, like, this is who I am. Like, understand who I am.
Gotcha.
Then we just talk from that heart space, right? Mm-hmm. So from what it started as something that was more a spoken word, again, I created it into a song, and that's often the process for me.
Okay.
That I write it down, and then it starts as those thoughts. And then that instrumentation might come a little later, or I might even find an instrumental that I'm going to write to.
Ah.
But it's always that outlet. It's always okay. Letting it out. And at that time, I was going through a lot of stuff in my own personal life.
Okay.
So convenient enough, I had come up with, I had found the We Matter campaign, and now I'm part of their Hope Forum Council.
Wow, nice.
So with that, like the Hope Council, we have youth that are from all over Canada. We come together and we collectively think of different ways that we can help the youth that are in our communities that are facing these increasing suicide rates.
You've got so much to live for. Don't give up. You've got so much to live for.
That's Music in Conversation with Cody Purcell, a.k.a. Cody Coyote. More at CodyCoyoteMusic.com, also at fnx.org/theaux. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Back now to Cody Coyote. His latest disc is called Mamawi, meaning All Together. Rap and hip-hop filled with messages of hope and inspiration.
Well, it's like I often tell people that with hip-hop, even nowadays, like you got these people that are coming out and they're saying that they're hip-hop artists and they're glorifying drug culture as well as, you know, gang life and all of this, you know, this garbage, right? But for me, I acknowledge that hip-hop is about reality. But okay. Earlier on, you know, my reality was a bit different than what it is right now. I feel that we often go certain ways on our journey, and I'm happy that I made my way into a good one, you know, a good journey, because I know a lot of people that are still stuck in that bad journey, and that's all they want to talk about is what they know, and they're just stuck in that space of like, hey, this is all I'm ever going to know is guns, all I'm ever going to know is gang life, all I'm ever going to know is like the streets, right? Like, I acknowledge that, okay, it's okay to talk about that, but how do we talk about it? Why are you going to glorify that?
Yeah.
Why are you going to glorify that and bring our youth into those kinds of spaces and have guns in your videos and
right. All
that kind of stuff, right? So for me, I really kicked myself in the butt about it, and I'm pretty open about it. I did a song with Ghostface Killah from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, cool.
And I thought it was awesome, right?
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay, this is cool.
But?
But it does not in any way, shape, or form represent who I am today. When I made that song, I was a boy.
Okay.
And now I've grown into the man that I am today, and I'm walking in a better way. So with that, there's a lot of growth. And even like acknowledging, like seeing Jesus, like in his journey, I'm super, right. super proud of him. And we talk about that kind of stuff. Like he's walking on what we call the red road, and I'm on that red road too. It's walking in sobriety, you know, walking in a good way, that red road that did not have that fire water as a part of it, you know, prior to contact. We never had that here, and we go back on that road. So for him, like, I'm super proud of what he's doing, and it's influential for someone like me that's an emerging artist that's coming up and that's staying hungry and, like,
trying
to stay true to myself, right?
Nice. So, you know, we won't stay on this because it's such a different thing, but how did you end up hooking up with Ghostface Killer?
We were, like, at a club. It was my friend Aspects. He's another Indigenous artist that's from Ottawa. He had asked me, he's like, yo, like, would you, like, be interested in working with anyone from the Wu-Tang Clan and, like, stuff like that? I'm like, yeah, sure. So Aspects had hooked everything up, and I actually paid $4,000 to have a feature with Ghostface.
Oh,
so, okay. Again, like, another weird thing that surrounds that, right? I guess that's how it goes sometimes, right? Is like, you're paying for someone's platform that's higher than yours to be on a song. But once that business was taken care of, that business side of things, we ended up working together, going to the studio. I actually drove through a blizzard with him when I had my car. I had a 1985 Oldsmobile riding through this blizzard with Ghostface Killah in my passenger seat and like my friends in the back seat. It was kind of crazy, you know. They were really cool guys. We had Face, Killer Priest was there with us too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my friend Martin, he's in LA now. He goes by ADM.
Okay.
So he's a DJ. He was the person that produced the track and everything. Like he had done all the mixing and mastering. And we linked up with a group called Snow Goons. They're based out of Europe. People don't know who they are. They got to check them out because they're representing hard for the underground hip hop scene. That collaboration, like, it was really solid. You know, it was a really solid collaboration.
Excellent.
But again, like, it doesn't represent who I am.
Today. Right, right. So, yeah.
Ani. Mi kwech mishomis. Mi kwech nukumis. Mi kwech gichi manitou. Me quench, me quench, me quench.
Before they would doubt me, knew nothing about me. Stuck in the limelight, darkness around me.
One of the next songs, we're not quite going in order, but let's talk about the first video to end up on the Aux, Northern Lights. You mentioned this briefly, so I really like this fleshed out some more, but this is another one that starts with someone speaking in their native tongue. What is being said to open Northern Lights, please?
So when I say Ani, it means hello. I say Miigwech Mishomis, thank you, grandfather. Miigwech Nukumis says thank you, grandmother. Miigwech Gichimanadu, thank you, creator. And then it would go. So it was just myself giving thanks for living Minobamadiziwen, living that good life that I was on and that I am still on. I really wanted to articulate a message like that at the beginning of the song because Northern Lights, it really embodies the fact that we could shine like our ancestors did. Because while I was up in the Yukon and I went up through Alaska, I met with the indigenous groups up there.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, it was quite exciting. Just like learning about the Tlingit, the different groups that were up there. They had told me that the Northern Lights were our ancestors that were dancing in the sky.
Oh, wow,
so
nice.
It was quite exciting to like get that teaching and to be able to make this project happen with Vision Quest, the local group that was based out of Whitehorse.
I definitely wanted to hear about them, so please expand on that. Those are the two guys that are also sharing verses in that?
Yeah, so okay. We have my friends Nick and Yudi, tremendous human beings. I have nothing but love for both of them. They're really representing for those bush rappers. You know how they'll say those bush rappers,
okay.
Right? They hold it down. I've seen them perform live in Ottawa. They were on tour for the Warrior Sun tour that was with Joey Styles as well as the Winnipeg Boys. But they came down there, and that was the first time that I saw them perform. And I'm like, I need to work with these guys. These guys are hot.
Nice.
So they got that.
Some of the video on this one, of course, there's going to be some Northern Lights there. But a lot of this is featured with you guys out in a field and just sort of, especially when we get to one and then the other of Vision Quest. Tell me where this one was shot. Was it up there where they're from?
Yep. So there was actually multiple locations. So there's one location that we went to that was by like a green lake. That place is called Emerald Lake. And for me, like, it was such a beautiful spot that I was just like, hey, like, this needs to be in this video. So I teamed up with Brendan Preston as well as Robert Postma. and we recorded at Emerald Lake, and then went to Carcross. They had told me that the biggest tourist attraction is that they have the world's smallest desert. So I was like, okay, so like, what am I in for? Like, what are we walking into here? And I kind of found it quite humorous that it was just like this like small patch of sand. So, but we went there and shot some scenes because the mountains look quite remarkable there. The last spot was the Skagway Summit over in Alaska.
That's really funny.
Right?
People can watch the video. People can see this video now just so they can see the world's smallest desert on this one. So, yeah, again, so that's Northern Lights. To the east, cross Canada's best. Take your time to address. Cody Coyote, your vision quest. What's next? We bless. We already talked about the fact that this one starts with you speaking in your native tongue. And so you mentioned the choice of why you included that. It was this, you know, kind of a common, I guess, giving thanks or an opening prayer, if you will. So many people, though, won't be able to understand this, but some will understand it. So that leads me to want to ask, has there been any kind of feedback, especially those who understand the language, especially appreciation for the inclusion?
Oh, definitely. Like, I have people that speak Anishinaabe Mohan, and just like me, they listen to the song, and it's a refresher for them. Because for those of us that had to literally go out there and start learning and asking questions in regards to the language, I often try to integrate these sorts of things in my music, so then I hear them enough that I could remember it. And then once you remember it, then you can teach. For people that were even non-Indigenous, they come up to me, they're like, hey, like, what's that mean? You know, like, what's that? And then I'd have that conversation with them.
Nice.
Like, well, it means this. I want to see a day where people are appreciating that. They're not really intimidated by it. Like, someone speaking an Indigenous language, they just really want to support it and find out, hey, like, how can I help these people learn their language? How can I help revitalize Indigenous culture, Indigenous traditions, as well as Indigenous languages?
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Cody Coyote. More at CodyCoyoteMusic.com. You can also find Cody on the Aux, fnx.org/theaux. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, online at kvcrnews.org. Do you find yourself seeing more of that, by the way? I think that there is more of a resurgence. At one point, it wasn't allowed, but it seems like there's more of a drive. Folks are trying to reclaim that.
Definitely. Well, and I see it across Turtle Island.
Tell the rest of the world what Turtle Island is.
So if people literally look at a map, you know, of Canada and, like, North America, you'll see a turtle. So, and that's what Canada was called prior to colonization and colonialism. It was Turtle Island, and that's where I'm from. For me, like, I find it important to teach people about that. And right now, we're living in a time where we're starting to see land acknowledgments throughout Canada.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's provided hope.
Wow.
But in regards to, like, reconciliation, we have a long way to go. Because as an Indigenous person, I feel that we're often told, you know, hush, hush, keep quiet. Let's not talk about that because it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
That sort of thing. Right? Like, I'm not ready to acknowledge this yet.
Yep.
But I often tell people that there's three kinds of people in this world. You got the one person, you know, who's always going to be right and have the strongest of opinions and who's not ready to learn anything new. Then you have the second person, 50-50, right?
Okay.
Like, I might want to learn something. I might not want to learn something. And then the third person, hey, how can I learn? How can I help? And for me, like, personally, as an Indigenous person, as an artist, I want to reach those last two people, because although the first person might not be ready to learn that yet, those other two people are going to be there and are going to be like, hey, like, you know, what's new? Like, what have you learned? Like, how can I help? You know, how can I help you go learn that? And in terms of, like, revitalizing who we are in this resurgence, I make it very clear when I perform music, when I'm on a platform and I have that microphone in my hand, you're not going to silence me. I'm not going to be quiet. You're going to know who I am. You're going to know what nation I belong to. You're going to know where I'm from and you're going to know what I represent. So my goal ultimately is that I want to reach the mainstream, but I want to do it in a way that people are going to acknowledge indigenous folk in the right way and in a Shin way. You feel me? Like I really just want to be able to do it so that no one has to feel uncomfortable and that we can learn about each other and that we can truly support each other. Because there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of hostility, there's a lot of really bad things that are happening in our communities. But I feel that people often are focusing on the negatives and the stereotypes, like every indigenous person is an alcoholic or drug user.
Right.
No, sorry, I've been 6 years sober. What are you going to say about that?
Yep.
Right? And in terms of traditions and culture, I just want people to acknowledge that your privilege of living on these territories, it is not surpassed and it is not superior to the people who have always been here.
Right.
And I think that in terms of providing change and getting into that space of change, let's learn about each other. Let's go into a safe space. Let's talk. And if people are wanting to help, I just often tell them just to listen. Just listen.
Absolutely, yeah. That's Cody Coyote. More at CodyCoyoteMusic.com. Also, he's at fnx.org/theaux. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. We are streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Back now to Cody Coyote. His latest disc is called Mamawi, all together in his native tongue. CodyCoyoteMusic.com for more.
Nation to nation, start a formation. We've all had some patience, but I'm sick of waiting. Felt limitations from their declaration that this land was taken, but they will not take it. From far and from wide, they rode on a tide, killed us through lies. My ancestors cried, I stand and I fight. Look in their eyes, we all need to rise to those who will try to make us die like we won't survive, to make us cry like we don't got lives. They will defy every given right, they will supply every prison site. One day, hoping one day we'll find one way to make some change. Someday, hoping someday.
Someday. Let's look at that song. This is, again, another one from Mamawi. This one starts with a look at history, but then later we hear someday. Specifically, we hear someday we'll find some way to make some change. This is another one that I'd just love to hear how this song started, the idea or experiences or experience that made this song happen. Do you remember the first phrase on this one, by the way?
Nation to nation, start a formation. You know, so start your formation, right?
Okay.
We've all had some patience, but I'm sick of waiting. I'm sick of waiting, right? I got tired. And at that point that I was writing that song, I was talking about, like, let's do this. Let's just do it. Let's find a way. Because the longer that we wait, the more that these issues that are happening in our communities are going to continue to happen. I know that people are taking their time for healing, and I support them. I support them 100%. But there comes a time where we can find that strength. We can find that strength, acknowledging the fact that we have the ability of reason inside of us, the ability to choose right from wrong. So starting to choose right, and starting to look for solutions, or creating solutions, and innovating and finding ways that we can truly be able to help our communities and help out people in general. For me, when I was working on this project, I got some background vocals done by a choir that was from Ottawa. They're called Just Voices. They're very politically active.
Uh-huh.
And you could find them like just performing at different events that are really for different causes that are helping people who come from marginalized communities, as well as people who have been oppressed as a whole. And for me, I really wanted them to be a part of this project and have them as a part of Someday. Those lyrics, I let the music speak for itself. You know, so I strongly encourage people to go check it out.
We were talking earlier about songs in your own language. Several, or at least a couple of the ones on Mamawi, start off in your own language, but then go into English. Something much more accessible, English.
Right.
But songs that are completely in your own language. I'm not going to ask you to do one right now. I know they're still coming together, and they don't need to be unveiled just yet. But let's talk about why you're making sure to do songs in your own language.
I truly feel it's important for people to know their language for multiple reasons. If I go into ceremony, if I go into sweat lodge,
yeah,
I want my ancestors to be able to understand me. So if I go in there and I say, Ani, Uju, Asinode, and Indigenous Nakaz, I want them to know my spirit name. I want them to know who I am and go in there and feel that balance, that I'm able to talk to them from that heart space. But even more so, I just want my children, if I have children one day, I want them to be able to understand and for them to be able to even fluently speak, because that was something that was stolen. And yep. It's not fair. It's not fair at all.
Yep.
But the more that I learn, the more that I feel more balanced in my life, it's filling those cuts that are on my heart, you know, those scars that I have. But the beautiful thing that I'm able to do right now is that I'm able to pass the knowledge up to my father and to my mother, and I'm able to pass it down to my two younger brothers.
Beautiful. Wow.
Thank you.
Speaking of ceremony, is Coyote a name that was presented to you in ceremony, or something chosen for the purpose of having a stage name? I mean, I wrote down your government name, for lack of a better way of saying it, but I know that much later on, sometimes much later on, a name will be presented to you. Is that the case with Coyote, or is this just a great stage name?
It's just a stage name.
Okay.
And for me, the Coyote, I acknowledge that in Ojibwe culture, it's seen as a trickster. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to pick something that had meaning to it. And for me, it's acknowledging the fact that there are going to be those tricksters along your journey. You're going to have people that are going to try and sway you to go left from right, you know, and get off of that journey that you're on, try to pull you aside and maybe even take advantage of you, right, in some circumstances. And that has happened. So it's using that as a reminder. So every time I see it, it's like, oh yeah, okay. All right, so things are going good now, but there might be something that's going to try and throw me off. But the other side of it is that the Coyote is also seen as a clown. And I'm just naturally like this like goofy, kind of dorky kind of guy, and I'm really cool with it. I'm like completely all right, you know? So yeah, like for me, I love that I'm completely comfortable with who I am now. Where I was before in high school, where I was being bullied, it's quite difficult to come to terms with that and to be able to actually act the way that I act and like be who I am. I just want to be able to be the person to make people smile. It's a big thing that I enjoy. If I can make one person smile in a day, then I've done my job as a human being.
I'm smiling as you say this.
There we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also called Reconciliation.
Yes, sir.
And this one features Mob Bounce. But first, talk about what this song is about. There's a lot of anger behind this one, the 1876 Indian Act. Can you even describe for the listener what this is?
So for those who don't know, in 1876, the Indian Act was implemented towards indigenous people of Turtle Island. And it was brought forth by a man named Sir John A. MacDonald. And with the Indian Act, they were initiating the whole movement behind residential schools. And quote unquote, they had said things like eliminating the Indian problem and taking the savage out of the Indian child. So our way of living was seen as if we were savage. And just a side note, I hate that word. And I strongly encourage people not to use it, especially in hip hop now. People are dropping it left, right, and center. But for me, it's triggersome, because we think about the Indian Act, and we think about how they tried to separate us and they tried to eliminate who we were. This Indian Act gave them the okay to forcibly abduct children from their homes and to put them into foster care and to put them in a residential school and to cut off their hair and to strip them of their language and to try to force religion on them, forcing that Catholic religion on them. For me, I understand that music, again, has been an outlet, but it's also been my medicine. So if I'm feeling angry, if I'm feeling like I really like I'm about to lose it, I have three keepsakes, what I call my keepsakes, but they can also be called one mics. The first and foremost is writing. The second is working out. And the third is going for a walk. So when I was feeling this way, I remember I was hearing some stuff about the residential schools and again, how the Canadian government was failing to truly reconcile with us in regards to it. I was feeling a little bit angry. And even celebrating things like Canada Day.
Right.
It's like literally slapping someone in the face. The same thing applies to other different colonial holidays.
We're talking about Columbus Day, and now exactly. A lot of people are celebrating Indigenous Peoples Days instead. So
exactly. Yeah. Well, in Columbus, you know, again, a colonizer, yeah. Right? And he's brought out, you know, and made out to be this like superb explorer,
who found lands.
You know, certain places. Like, hey, like I'm going to India. Sorry, homie, you got lost. We're not Indians. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I personally choose to say I'm Ojibwe. I'm Indigenous. Those are those comfort words for me, or First Nations or Native.
Yeah.
Those are okay with me. But when it comes to 300 and reconciliation, I spoke with Mob Bounce, and they're from the West Coast in Canada. Okay. So we kind of had like this cross-Canada collaboration happening. But we both understood that like, hey, this whole Canada Day thing, what's up with that, man? They're talking about reconciliation. And last year was Canada's 150th year of Confederation.
Okay.
So they chose to celebrate that, and they were trying to include Indigenous people, but the only way that I saw that was that they're trying to cover their tracks and make it look like, hey, yeah, like we're still Canada. Like, yeah. This is awesome. You know, we're getting along with everyone. This is a great place to live. But a side note is that we have children that don't even have clean drinking water in their communities. And I've been to those communities and I've tasted that water, and it tastes like overchlorinated pool water.
Mm.
And they have to drink that day in, day out. And then they have boils on their face and so on and so forth, right? But for me, I got frustrated with it. And I said, enough's enough. It's time to highlight the truth, you know. And yeah, the truth sucks. The truth really sucks.
Yeah.
But again, if you feel guilty, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to pretend like it didn't happen? Or are you going to do something
maybe,
about
yes.
it, right?
You will turn some people away, but you'll also bring some people into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful part, again, about this.
That's the long term, right? Is bringing people into that conversation and having that conversation.
Yeah. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Cody Coyote. More at CodyCoyoteMusic.com. He's also on the aux at fnx.org/theaux, A-U-X. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, online at kvcrnews.org. Well, speaking of a message of hope, let's look at Ogama. We've been talking a lot about rap and hip-hop, this one hitting the electronic club mix side of you. And this one, though, while it is not quite a different genre, because there's crossover, there's a rap going on in the middle of it, despite the fact that there's a, quote, different genre in here, there's still a message of hope on this one. That's such a common thread through and throughout Mamawi. So again, Ogama, tell me about the beginnings of this one.
I learned that word. So Ogama, it means leader in Anishinaabe Mon. I've had the honor and the privilege of knowing so many young leaders throughout Canada. And with that being said, like, I just wanted to reach all the people that are in these remote communities, that are in urban communities, just across Turtle Island, letting people know that you have the ability to be a leader in your community. You have the ability to walk in a good way. You can, you are able to, you will. A lot of those different things that we need to hear on a day to day. And sometimes we just need to hear that one compliment to help us keep going, right? And for me, I wanted to create a song that people could just come and jam to, but can also take something that's tangible from.
So this is literally, you can have fun at the club with it, but if you're not careful, you may learn something.
Yeah. Nice. But, and like, I encourage people just to come into like a sober space.
Yeah.
Show up sober to a festival. You could still dance. The realness behind that, and I remind people, is that prior to contact, we were singing, we were dancing, we were making beats, we were doing all of that. And we had our art. We still have it. So even learning breakdancing and learning traditional dance, I try to integrate that into my performance just to show people, like, it's okay. It's okay. Dance. Let your spirit shine. Oh, Ogama. Just let your spirit guide our future generations. Ogama. Oh, Ogama. Just let your spirit guide our future generations. The best way of closing right now, I think, would be to ask you if you could do some sort of a, whether it's a freestyle or whether it's something that is quoting one of your songs, even if it's a song that we already talked about and already probably heard playing in the background, something that goes along with this wonderful theme that's been going on through and through, this hope. Well, I think it's most convenient. The current time right now, it's been shortly after Canada Day. I know that last year, I had a lot of friends that had set up a teepee on Parliament Hill. They had to fight to do so. And there was a police presence. It was right beside the main stage. And for me, like I had talked a little bit about how Indigenous voices have often been told to keep it like hush hush, you know, be quiet, like you're not valid. I think the most convenient thing to do, like in honor of them and in honor of their voices, is to just do the free verse from 300.
Please.
So.
150 years full of genocide. 150 years that our people cry. 150 years try and kill our pride. 150 years that our people die. 1876, Indian Act. Changing the ways that the Indians act. Eliminate, eradicate all the Indian packs. Take the land and create an Indian tax. Assimilate, never bringing Indians back. Murder and rape generations of them. 1763 proclamation began. Now we celebrate, do it over again. Neglecting to help all the needy. Taking the land cause they're greedy. They've broken the treaties. Brainwashing you all through a TV. Dividing us all cause they're sneaky. I need them to free me. 150 years, no celebration. And you whip me tea in our First Nation. We need to show love through education. The future is here, reconciliation, 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 reconciliation.
I think the only thing missing from this is just briefly about your CD, some of the packaging. There's wonderful photography in here, beyond the photography of yourself, and also a really cool shot. If you were inside of a teepee looking up, you would see these poles coming together. Boy, there's another theme of togetherness, whether or not we meant to there. Definitely. And it looks especially cool on the CD. But what I'd like to hear about, when the title of the disc, Mamawi, is mentioned in there, there's some beautiful words that follow.
Oh, definitely. And just really quick, in regards to the teepee posts, I chose to put 13 songs on the CD to honor those 13 posts and the 13 moons that are throughout the year.
I didn't think of counting them.
Oh.
People could hear me doing that.
It's okay.
Wow, cool. Way cool.
In terms of what was inside of the CD, I'm literally reading it off of the paper right here.
Okay.
I felt it was important, you know, to give thanks, obviously, to all the artists and the producers and the audio engineers that had been a part of the project, but even more so to the listeners. So inside the pamphlet, it says, Mamawe means all together in Anishinaabe Moen. All together we can educate, learn, and share. All together we can support each other. All together we can initiate positive change. All together we can create a better world for our future generations. We can do it, and it will take time, but we have to do it Mamawe. Mamawe wichiitata. It means all together we can support one another, and we have to do that with love. We have to do that with respect. We have to do that with kindness. And that's the only way we're going to ever move forward together as a people.
Couldn't close better than that if I tried. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate it.
That's Music and Conversation with Cody Purcell, on stage and on disc as Cody Coyote, his latest disc, Mamawi, meaning all together. More at CodyCoyoteMusic.com. Also on the aux at fnx.org/theaux, A-U-X. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks once again to Cody Coyote and to Sahar Kajinori. With FNX, thanks to Frank Blanquette and Weldon Grover. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Jessica Greenwell, Sharina Wad, Isel Quapio, Benjamin Perper, and KVCR General Manager Keith Bertfeldt. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVC Arts programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Yeah.